Urban Aboriginal People. The number of Aboriginal people living in Canada's largest cities, such as Vancouver, Winnipeg, and Toronto, is increasing. In fact, in 2006, 54% of Aboriginal people in Canada lived in urban areas. And according to the Statistics Canada 2011 National Household Survey, 52,375 Aboriginal people were living in the Greater Vancouver area. However, even with these large urban populations, many non-Aboriginal people who are living in the same cities know very little about their Aboriginal neighbors. This lack of knowledge may be playing a role in the perpetuation of negative stereotypes about Aboriginal people. For example, according to the 2010 Urban Aboriginal People Study, a large survey of Canada's urban Aboriginal population, many urban Aboriginals feel that non-native people see them as addicts who are lazy, uneducated, and poor. However, in reality, this is not the case. In fact, the lives of many urban Aboriginal people are quite similar to those of their non-Aboriginal counterparts. So who are the Aboriginal people living in Vancouver, Calgary, Montreal, and Canada's other large urban centers? Well, just like the non-native population, which is made up of people from all over the world, the urban Aboriginal population is extremely diverse. There are people from many different nations that have unique cultures and distinct languages. Some of these people have migrated to the cities from other places, such as smaller towns, villages, or reserves. Others have had the city grow up around them. For instance, Vancouver's Aboriginal population is made up of the original inhabitants of this territory, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh, as well as people with Gitxan, Haida, Cree, Okanagan, Tsawwassen, Inuit, and Métis ancestry, among many others. The original peoples are referred to as the hosts, or host nations, because the city is situated on their traditional territory. Those who have moved to the city from other areas are referred to as urban Aboriginal people. So why do so many Aboriginal people move to large urban areas? Well, like other immigrants, many come to be closer to family or to obtain a better education for themselves or their children. Others come to find employment or to live in a place with better services and amenities such as hospitals. Some urban Aboriginal families have been living in large cities for generations, while others have just arrived. This means that there are first, second, and third generation urban Aboriginals in the same way that there are first, second, and third generation immigrants. And there may be more similarities in the experiences and perspectives of these two groups than people are aware of. For example, first-generation urban Aboriginals who are new to the city may experience some of the same challenges that newcomers from different countries do. Specifically, they may be far away from their families and communities for the first time, so they may feel a little lost or lonely. Or they may not be familiar with the city and may have difficulty navigating their way around and accessing the services that they need. Likewise, some third or fourth generation urban Aboriginals may have things in common with third or fourth generation immigrants. For example, both groups may feel less of a connection to or less familiar with the homeland of their ancestors because they weren't born and raised there. Also, it might be more challenging for third and fourth generation urban Aboriginals and third and fourth generation immigrants to maintain their traditional language and cultural practices because they may live far away from their cultural communities. However, even though there may be some similarities, there are also important distinctions between the experiences of these two groups. One of these is the fact that many immigrant communities in Canada, particularly those that are quite large, have settled in specific areas or neighborhoods. And within these neighborhoods, there are people who speak their language, stores that sell familiar goods, and restaurants that serve their traditional foods. Also, in many large Canadian cities, there are places of worship, such as churches, mosques, temples, and synagogues, where immigrants can continue to practice their spiritual beliefs. In many Canadian schools, there are also heritage language classes, where second, third, and fourth generation immigrants, along with other Canadian students, can learn to speak languages such as Mandarin, Cantonese, or Punjabi. In these ways, some parts of the cultures of Canada's immigrants have come with them, and this may give them a small sense of comfort in their new country. However, this is not the case for many urban Aboriginal people. City life can be very different from living in a small rural community or on a reserve. In many of Canada's large cities, there aren't specific neighborhoods where people from one Aboriginal culture have settled. There may be neighborhoods with large Aboriginal populations, but these populations are usually quite diverse, and there is only a sprinkling of people from each different cultural community. This is because in the past, many Aboriginal populations dramatically decreased in size during the smallpox and influenza epidemics. So today, many Aboriginal populations in both rural and urban areas are relatively small. There are also few places in major cities where Aboriginal people can gather to take part in traditional cultural events or spiritual ceremonies. For decades, these types of gatherings were banned, so it was nearly impossible to create a space for these events and ceremonies in large urban areas. There are also few schools in large cities that offer classes in Aboriginal languages. The schools that do offer these types of classes usually teach the languages of the host nations, not the many different languages of the urban Aboriginal population. For all of these reasons, it can be difficult for first-generation urban Aboriginal people to comfortably settle in their new urban environment, and it can be equally difficult for second- and third- and fourth-generation urban Aboriginals to maintain a strong knowledge of and close connection to their cultural roots. Fortunately, however, Aboriginal Friendship Centres are doing a lot to support and enhance the lives of Aboriginal people who are living in large urban areas. These organizations are similar to the cultural centres that have been established by immigrant communities, such as the Scottish Cultural Centre, the Polish Cultural Centre, and the Chinese Cultural Centre. They are places where urban Aboriginals can get information about the city and its services. They can meet other Aboriginal people and participate in cultural events. And Aboriginal friendship centres in large urban areas are often as multicultural as the community they serve. So people who access these centres can learn more about their own Aboriginal culture and the other Aboriginal cultures that exist in their city. This exposure to so many different cultures can sometimes lead to a sharing and blending of Aboriginal cultural practices and protocols. In other words, some urban Aboriginal people have been introduced to and taken on new cultural conventions that are not traditionally part of their own culture. This is very similar to the way in which many non-Aboriginal people in Canada have also been influenced by their multicultural environment and adopted new cultural practices. Perhaps it is this acceptance of a multicultural environment and the constant sharing and blending and redefining of identity that makes each person in Canada, both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal, so unique, yet also so connected.